Chapter 7. Relax, relapse. Despite the gray sheets of rain that hammered their small college town, Toshinori found himself feeling particularly boisterous as he walked to Aizawa's apartment the very next Sunday, lifting his goofy yellow umbrella high and half-skipping over puddles at an easy, loping pace. Days like this, there wasn't much crime. It felt like the whole world was silent and drinking deeply of the endless pearl-gray sky, using the time as an excuse to batten down the hatches and rest. An excellent time, in his opinion, for hot tea and quiet. Toshinori was happy to be taking that quiet with a friend, and on the plushest couch known to man, as the rain was making his knees ache a bit. He was also quite determined to arrive at his co-teacher's home completely dry, and perhaps prove to Aizawa that he did own an umbrella and knew how to navigate rain without getting soaked or ruining carpets, with or without a stray kitten in tow. It was with a victorious sort of concentration that Toshinori took out his big umbrella and stowed it in the entryway of the relatively gloomy housing complex, his footsteps echoing eerily against the constant hiss of rain as he climbed up one flight, then two. Straightening himself and his tie, he knocked at Aizawa's door. No answer. No worries. He was probably napping. It was a bit of a paradoxical compliment if he was. Formal Aizawa was always on time, but informal Aizawa tended to doze at will. And Toshinori liked informal Aizawa. A bit more than he should, maybe. Toshinori knocked sharply again, just to be sure, and then entered the key code as the younger hero had given him explicit permission to do, unable to shake an awkward little thrill as he did so. Definitely not smiling, either. It was just a key code, subject to change. Friends and co-workers gave each other access to their apartments, right? Especially when they worked closely together after hours. But Toshinori had never really had co-workers before, he realized with a start, or whatever qualified beyond his one sidekick of many years, and years ago at that. He was actually spectacularly bad at judging what was normal in this work environment, or any other, and was trusting his conception of normalcy to his co-worker, when there was utterly nothing about Aizawa Shota that could be considered normal. Batting that alarming realization aside and focusing on the issue at hand that afternoon, yet another obstacle course for the children, he opened the door and edged himself into Aizawa's apartment, stopping with one hand still on the handle. He frowned midway through prying off his shoes. For the first time in his memory, the apartment was a mess, practically turned upside down and shaken out, and the man who lived there was nowhere in sight. Aizawa's small home was usually clean by virtue of being empty, but now there were dishes in the sink and takeout boxes littering every surface, leading to a scrambled map of activity that was manic at best, delirious at worst. Papers matted the floor, and a sizable coffee stain had dried untouched on one of the larger islands of printouts. Toshinori bent to pick one of them up, brow furrowed, wincing at the pinch of his knees, and looked up at a soft meow. Himawari was poking her golden head out of Aizawa's bedroom door, sharp ears up. "Himawari-chan," he murmured as she approached, stunned. He reached out to pet her and glanced around the messy apartment again, somehow in alien territory once more. But she just streaked underneath his hand and turned, tail high. She meowed again, turning one circle and then running to the ajar door, flitting inside. Toshinori pressed his lips together, wary. The energy in the sitting room felt quiet, tense, and musty, and while it was obvious that the younger hero wasn't hiding behind the couch, he was slightly worried at what he might find in Aizawa's bedroom if he intruded. Was he ill? Too ill to text and let him know? Or was he even the type of person to let him know? The veteran hero rose to his feet and knocked once, twice, stared at the gap in the door. "Aizawa-kun?" he called hesitantly. No answer. This time he worried. From inside, he heard Himawari give a chirping little meow, insistent. Despite himself, he smiled somewhat and pushed the door open. There was no gruesome scene. Aizawa was cross-legged on the floor in an oversized t-shirt and sweatpants, with his back to the door, hair half in and half out of a sloppy tie, and tangling over his hunched shoulders. Other than the diffuse gray wash of light from the shuttered window, the only illumination in the room was from his phone in his lap, hidden by Toshinori's angle, but painting the strong curve of the younger man's jaw and neck in cool blues. Toshinori bit his lip. Is it that time? Aizawa rasped before he could speak, not raising his head. Toshinori averted his eyes from the scrambled innards of the man's bedroom, which he had never seen before, and tried to rally, like this was normal, or at least manageable. It's 3, or almost. I'm sorry if I'm early. He fretted at his shirt sleeves, still no response. He cleared his throat. Do you have those schematics you wanted me to look at for the class? Done, Aizawa said, absently petting Himawari as she clumsily bunted against his elbow with all her might, and Toshinori felt like he was beginning to understand her insistence. Then he actually heard what his co-worker said. Done, he repeated in disbelief. They had nearly 7 hours of joint work ahead of them that day, plus or minus a shared meal, so Toshinori said the only thing he could think of. Aizawa-kun, that's just not possible. Anything is possible at 4 a.m. For a moment, the older hero just stood in the doorway. It sounded like what counted for humor with Aizawa, which was usually just Tetchy's statement of fact. He had finished everything at 4 a.m. Why had he gotten up so early to begin the work when he knew he would have help? And then it all clicked. Aizawa-kun, have you slept? Friday. Excuse me? Slept on Friday, midday, he grunted, turning his head and casting around for something, either an object or idea, then gave up. Curled and retracted. Can't focus. It was Sunday, and he hadn't slept since Friday? Toshinori's mouth dropped open. It explained the state of the house, which also looked like it hadn't gotten a break since Friday. The image of Aizawa pacing around and rifling through schematics among scattered coffee mugs and takeout boxes at 4 a.m. was distressing. But he also couldn't imagine how stressful it would be to not sleep for days. I think sleep takes the opposite of focus, he murmured, more to himself than the man tangling with the reality of the situation. A stupid thing to say, nonetheless, and Aizawa was alert enough to hear it. I can't focus on relaxing, he said sharply. Then he sagged, clearly too tired to be angry. Aizawa's head rolled forward, and he haltingly pushed his fingers across his eyes and into his dark, ratty hair over his temples. Everywhere that clearly hurt. My fucking head. Toshinori's weak heart throbbed again, so like the night he had found Aizawa splayed and inebriated on his couch. Then again, it was probably the same root cause, Shinso Hitoshi. Toshinori had noticed that his fellow teacher's insomnia flared in response to stressors, and Aizawa had practically just committed to training the boy full-time. This was his first weekend since, and he didn't have school or anything else to distract him. Just more time to dwell and spiral. It fit, but he kept his silence. Toshinori wasn't going to assume anything, much like he wasn't going to assume he would be helpful here. It was a paradigm shift, and a painful one for the legendary hero. He couldn't save Aizawa like a hero saves people. Not from his own body or mind, even if the realization stung him deeply on some level. Maybe a few years ago, or a few months ago, Toshinori wouldn't have been able to accept it, would have railed and blundered forward with a million ideas and solutions in order to be heroic. But he was learning now. Aizawa had been teaching him. And now, here the noble, difficult man was, worn down to nothing and motionless on the floor. A cruel kind of test of his aptitude. "Do you need anything?" Toshinori began softly, trying to do his best to simply witness and accept what was happening, even as his instincts strained and thrashed to do something, anything. Open the window, put on the kettle for tea, talk loudly enough to distract. He glanced around the darkened room for any sign of lack, but there was too much mess to make any sense of what belonged and what didn't. Much less what was needed. Aizawa was behind on laundry, as he'd said tended to happen, and Toshinori could hardly see the floor. "Stupid question," Aizawa snorted from behind the curtain of his hair. Nothing more. Toshinori pressed his lips together and tried again. "Would a shower help?" "Drowning sounds great." Toshinori sighed. Well, if he had already done all of their work. "I can leave if you'd rather, but would you mind if I sat with you?" Aizawa just grunted, so Toshinori sat. It took him a minute to fold his long legs into a sitting position and deal with Himawari rushing at him with an angry, squeaky little sound, only to double back and continue to fret at, between and over Aizawa's crossed legs, growling and purring in hectic turns. She poked her head out of the crook of the younger hero's slack arm and gazed back at him, eyes steely blue in the gray light, as if to say, "Why aren't you helping?" He could ask himself the same, and how. The lump of helplessness doubled, solidly blocking Toshinori's throat. Misery brewed in the airless chamber of his chest, and they sat for long moments, silent. The distance between them on the clothes-littered wood was respectable, and one that the older hero wanted to cross more than anything. Despite the searing physicality of their arrangement, they had never actually hugged or touched one another in a civilian way. And the thought shook Toshinori considerably, even as such gestures were foreign to him as well. The gap between their modes of relating loomed in the musty, tense space between them, until, feeling more pathetic than brave, Toshinori placed a hand on his friend's bent back, long fingers scrubbing lightly. Aizawa shuddered, then bowed into it after a breathless moment. "Fucked up," he mumbled, still glaring down at his phone screen. "An accurate summary. I'm sorry you're having such a hard time," Toshinori said carefully, straining to put some feeling into the idiotic platitude. He swallowed. "If I can help, let me know." Aizawa grunted and nudged into his hand again, then abruptly turned and leaned backward, toward him. Toshinori jumped on the strange gesture, scrambling forward just enough to give Aizawa a shoulder to lean into, where the younger hero lay stiffly, eyes closed, hands heavy on his lap even as Himawari tried to nuzzle under his fingers. Immediately, Toshinori wrinkled his nose. Aizawa reeked something awful. It was strangely more concentrated, somehow more miserable than the stink of exertion or a hard battle. But then again, Toshinori assumed he had been fighting against his body and mind for the past 48 hours. His heart squeezed, and so did his arms, unbidden, folding the younger hero into his caving chest. For a second, Toshinori froze, damning his mutinous body and its apparently heroic insistence on certain things. But then Aizawa's hand came to rest on his, rough fingertips wandering and feeling. He breathed out shakily against the younger hero's shoulder, simply experiencing the simple warmth between them and watching his hands, their hands. If there was something intense and desirable and piercing about any of it, holding Aizawa, curling around him and supporting him, with his mouth against his shoulder in the quiet of his bedroom, Toshinori blocked it, shoving it down and away. This wasn't for him, any of it. He had to ask himself, Was this physical reassurance something that either Yamada-san or Kayama-san would do for their friend to help him? The answer was an unequivocal yes. The veteran hero could have sat there and simply drowned in witnessed misery. But then he remembered that Aizawa responded, at least in part, to a firm hand. Usually that hand was Kayama's, as Midnight. But maybe he just needed someone to have a firm opinion as to what he should do with himself. Toshinori had more than a few. "I think a shower would help," he murmured into Aizawa's tangled hair, trying to sound firm, but also trying not to simultaneously memorize and erase every detail of the miserable embrace. The way Aizawa's lean body felt against his, the ratty hair against his cheek, the way his thin forearms locked firmly across his sides and stomach. "Unless you're gonna carry me," Aizawa snorted, derisive. His hand stopped its wandering and retracted, balled into a fist instead, resisting. "I could do that," he said, reaching for that fist. He pushed his fingers gently along the seams of the younger hero's aggressively scarred knuckles, nosing into his hair. Distracting. "Are you hungry? You must be hungry." "You're annoying," Aizawa hissed, turning and bumping his head with his own, a sign to back off, which Toshinori did, retreating to his shoulder again, too stunned to even chastise himself for his initial gall. "Why are you still here?" "Because you take care of the children all day, every day," Toshinori said slowly into his shoulder, realizing the magnitude of the truth as he said it. "And you should let others care for you when you are not doing well. There's no shame in it." "I'm not ashamed. I'm fucking exhausted and out of my head and I can't sleep. And don't bring the students into this. It's cheap," he grumbled, adding dourly, "You're cheap." Toshinori pressed forward, unfazed. He had a goal. He wouldn't give up. "It's necessary. Today is Sunday. You have class tomorrow. Or should I take over for you, if you need the time?" "You don't even have an hour left in you," Aizawa snorted. "What would you do for your class?" "I would figure something out. Maybe with Snipe-san or Yamada-san. Surely they know a thing or two about hero studies. You don't need to worry yourself," he said resolutely, ardent and hushed. "It's what friends do for one another. Plus, right. Right?" The statement, the identity issue at the end, stung less than it ever had. His time as All Might, the only man the children knew, was a practical concern, and Aizawa was a practical man. But then the man himself snorted and abruptly leaned forward and out of the half-embrace. "Bullshit." Toshinori retracted his suddenly shameful limbs, assuming the worst. But the homeroom teacher just got to his bare feet and immediately stumbled around Himawari, who was very concerned at the flurry of movement. Toshinori plucked the nosy thing out of the way and stowed her in his lap, watching tensely as Aizawa shook his hair loose and shrugged out of his rank t-shirt, which he then peevishly flung over the older hero's head. "I'm done with you." Toshinori made a sound of surprise, tangling with the shirt and the nervous, squirming cat for a moment, and emerged to an empty room. Had Aizawa been referring to him or the shirt? Biting his lip, he leaned out of the bedroom far enough to see the bathroom door slide shut, and, after a moment, the hiss of the shower filtered through the small, dark apartment. Toshinori finally breathed out and set their girl down, giving her a good scratch. "It's okay," he assured her, and himself in low tones, his heart stinging. "He's okay." Stranded, waiting, unsure what to do, Toshinori did what he always did. He made tea. Chamomile and jasmine, both relaxers, with a sprinkle of sugar for softness. A solid half hour later, more time than it took to drain the apartment's small water heater, Aizawa emerged, rubbing a threadbare towel in his hair, eyes half-closed and undercut with deep, bruise-like shadows. His clean, pink sweatpants and white t-shirt were horribly bright in comparison, but he already looked a little more alive. He had even shaved. The exhausted young hero paused in the kitchen and took in the warm mug Toshinori folded into his hands, then drifted to the couch, just for a change of scenery, probably. Toshinori regarded him fretfully for a moment, then set to cleaning, out of nothing more than a desperation to distract. He got as far as collecting the first four takeout boxes before getting snapped at. Stop. He looked over and found Aizawa glaring at him from his seat on the couch. Put those down, you're making me anxious and irritated. Oh? He startled, ducking his head. Sorry. Cringing, Toshinori put down the takeout boxes in an odd little pile, intensely embarrassed. He wasn't judging Aizawa for the state of his home. Did Aizawa think he was judging him? The speed at which the teacher averted his gaze, turning and hiding himself in petting his kitten, spoke to the possibility. At long last, Toshinori's own nerves kicked his feet out from under him. It was well past time for him to go, probably, if he was irritating the man he was trying to help. Aizawa had such a short fuse even when he had his wits about him. He was surprised he had lasted this long with such a nosy guest. The older hero tugged at his tie and turned around, swallowing with difficulty. I didn't mean to overstep my, you know, if you were done with me, I guess I'll just... He trailed off awkwardly, trying to remember where he'd put his own folders so he could get out of the other man's hair. Hey. Toshinori looked over. Now on his side on the couch, Aizawa was little more than a lump of pink jersey knit and damp, curled feet. If you want to help, get over here. He grumbled, deep voice muffled against the cushions. It took him a minute to process, to believe, but in the end, Toshinori cautiously approached the couch. Aizawa was small like this, with his thick hair wet and close to his head, and his knees folded protectively to his chest. Not at all the imposing specter of A1, who could level an ego with a single glare and made every day feel like a pop quiz. Toshinori's heart nearly jumped out of his throat, seeing tiny Himawari soaking wet and stranded, shaking all over again, paired with the identical desire to save and hold, or the simple inability to leave. Still, he hesitated, looking at the conspicuously empty space behind Aizawa and his vague instructions. He sat on the edge of the couch instead, knees together. Like this? He asked, lightly placing a hand on his leg. Get in here, he ordered shortly, twisting to pass the space behind him. Toshinori obeyed. He had to chase off the princess, who was already circling in the small of her human's damp, warm back. Toshinori apologized half-heartedly to her as he fit himself behind Aizawa, an awkward affair of gangly limbs and shuffling despite the ample space on the enormous couch. It was less the fit of the matter than the situation entirely, and so, as he wrangled elbows and knees, Toshinori ordered himself to calm down, to stop imagining every way this could go terribly wrong. Like this? He asked again, tongue catching on the words. Aizawa curtly yanked his arms around his middle, grunting. The way their bodies fit, back to chest again, momentarily sent Toshinori's mind offline, and a glut of shame quickly followed the numbing blast of belonging. The longer I stay awake, the more fucked up my dreams, came the mutter from the other side, dull and somehow angry. I go into REM quicker, but pressure helps with the night terrors, so squeeze, if you can. I will, Toshinori promised throatily, startled. I'll try. I'm not promising I'm gonna fall asleep, he added, slurred and even angrier, preparing him for it. So don't ask me every 3 minutes like a dumbass, okay? Do whatever you need. I'll be here either way. He tried to end it there, simply and with feeling, but he couldn't suffer in such conspicuous silence. or such conspicuous closeness. Toshinori had to say it, almost under his breath. But is this okay? What? Considering our agreement? He said heavily, careful and dreading it. Does this violate the premise? Aizawa didn't move or speak for a moment. Entirely calcified. When he did speak, his voice was steely, empty, perfectly neutral. You're doing me a practical service by staying, by helping me sleep. If you're uncomfortable with it, you can leave at any point. No, Toshinori murmured instantly, squeezing his eyes shut as disappointment and dread warred in him. He prayed the younger hero wouldn't feel his heart banging away through his back and immediately regretted opening his mouth. What was he trying to prove? No, this is fine. I'm not uncomfortable. I just wanted to be sure. Okay, then. And that was the problem, really. He was horribly comfortable. He had never been more comfortable in his entire life, and that was even considering whatever was stabbing away in his chest. Guilt, maybe dread, a dawning sense that maybe some agreement, no matter how logical and practical, couldn't stand up to the intensity of the kind of work they were doing, digging around in each other, seeing each other, and trusting enough to be seen. But for now, Toshinori had a job to do, and he was an expert at trimming away mental chatter to accomplish a task. In the thawing silence, Toshinori carefully settled down behind the younger hero on the wide microfiber couch, cedar and tea tree tingling in his nose. Aizawa's wet hair immediately soaked into his collar and the sleeve of his shirt where his arm cradled his head, but it just seemed to blur the lines between where he started and Aizawa ended, and he didn't mind. Warm and close was fine. It was what Aizawa needed right now, to sleep. The mug steamed on the coffee table, untouched but releasing a soothing smell. The rain fell softly outside, a warm spring storm. Himawari had settled behind Toshinori's head, practically roosting in his gaping shirt collar, and was purring rhythmically, ears twitching. Laying there, Toshinori was more than happy to give Aizawa what he needed. He took his current job very seriously, and moved to hold all of him. Hold him down. Hold him in. Hold him to the same standard of care he forced on everyone else. Mostly, he held Aizawa close, breathing in until his scar-mottled chest pushed gently against the man's back, long fingers skimming his angles absently. Self-conscious of his breath on his neck, wondering, then trying not to. After a moment, Aizawa rooted back into him, begrudgingly, and his breathing slowed little by little. Too tired to hold himself brittle and motionless like his nerves would have otherwise demanded. Toshinori nudged into the dip of the armrest and sighed quietly, closing his eyes. He slept. They slept. It rained and rained, and the afternoon slipped away. Toshinori woke an unknown amount of time later alone on the couch, arms outstretched and empty. Himawari was still there, and blearily opened an eye when he shifted around to stare at her. The common sense knocked clean out of him by the depth of sleep he'd achieved. Outside, the rain still fell, and the apartment was silent. He was beginning to feel like he had woken into an alternate dimension. But then Aizawa padded out of the bathroom, holding a canister with his free hand in his hair, pulling and squeezing. Relief filled his chest. He must have made a noise, however, because Aizawa glanced up, caught, then continued with his head low. As Toshinori watched, he seated himself at the kitchen table, emptied a handful of foam from the container and continued the concerted motion of rubbing it into his hair. Slowly, the older man began to frown. "How are you feeling?" he asked in a rough whisper. Careful. He felt like little more than a tangle of limbs and confusion as he straightened himself and stifled a yawn in his damp sleeve. Another grunt. Toshinori accepted it. He wasn't entitled to any sort of explanation. But he worried. It felt nice, if complicated, sleeping next to Aizawa. But it wasn't the time to say so. The distance between them was obvious, especially considering Aizawa's seat at the table when there were takeout boxes on the floor. It was uncharacteristically avoidant. Clipped, and the stubbornness with which the younger hero continued to clench and rub at his hair made Toshinori think this wasn't something offhanded or coincidental. "If you don't mind me asking," Toshinori began, propping himself up on his elbow. "I mind," Aizawa said shortly, hiding in his hair, which was looking remarkably shiny. Toshinori got as far as opening his mouth, likely just to make an understanding noise, when Aizawa stopped his persistent massage of his hair and sighed through his nose. "It's something I do every 2 weeks." "A schedule," Toshinori said after a moment, processing. He had no idea where this was going, especially as Aizawa set aside the container with a clang and started in on his tangles with a comb. "Why a schedule?" "It's a sort of check-in, holding me accountable," he mumbled, so low it was unclear if he actually wanted Toshinori to hear it, or if this was another way of getting him to stop asking questions. He had no desire to answer. He watched, slightly hypnotized, as Aizawa took a minute to tear loose hair from the comb, head bowed. It was a ritual, a check-in to hold him accountable. But to whom? Ever observant, or just knowing exactly how nosy he was, Aizawa took a deep breath, and Toshinori found himself tensing, feeling the need to sit up straight and witness as the gruff man began to speak. "Explain." "I was in the triumvirate job for about 17 months, full undercover. The kinds of things I did while under, probably not the worst, but definitely not the best. My only concern was survival for a while. I was the perfect candidate for the job, considering," he said, something spiteful in his tone, as he combed and pulled. "When I got out, I'd been cornered in one way or another for so long that I didn't know what to do with freedom. I was less than functional. Didn't eat, didn't shower, didn't go outside, didn't sleep. I was having panic attacks every other day, every other hour. Did worse things to cope. Then Nemuri happened." Awash in such a candid description of suffering, Toshinori frowned. It was an odd statement for two people who had known each other all through academy, for one to happen to the other so many years after. But it immediately became clear that it was a relationship with a capital R, the only one that Aizawa subbed for, and perhaps for a very good reason with very bad origins. "She helped you," Toshinori said quietly, realizing. He had very much undersold the importance of their arrangement, that day in the cafe, it seemed. But the older hero could think of absolutely no reason why his friend, barely a friend at that point, would feel the need to divulge such a painful truth so early. Or now, even. Aizawa nodded, now carting his fingers through his damp hair. "She saw me spiraling and stepped in to break it. Don't know how far I would have gone if she hadn't. She worked her ass off and scheduled and micromanaged every aspect of my life, so I wouldn't have time to sabotage myself." Though he spoke with pristine calmness, something in his face spoke to the depth of the information, the trauma contained between the simple facts, and Toshinori found himself holding his breath, especially as Aizawa rose from the table with his comb and padded over into the living room. The distance between them, or the lack thereof, was suddenly very important. It always had been, really. So Toshinori hurriedly moved over to give the younger hero room as he slumped against the front of the couch, continuing in low, tired tones. "Not to say that she didn't enjoy it. Forceful nurturing is her thing. But she really went hard. Meals, daily check-ins, routines, all to stop me from getting stuck in a depressive cycle and to give me someone to answer to. Someone who mattered, came the unspoken truth, clear as day. Someone outside his self-hatred. After I started to get a handle on basic life skills again and got the mats out of my hair, we reined it in to just a few things. Aizawa finished. He breathed out slowly. Done. Check-ins. So every 2 weeks you do this. Treat your hair like this. Toshinori could hardly bring himself to simplify it so much, or even find his voice after such a confession. Aizawa nodded, automatic. It's a wellness test. If I have my shit together enough to remember, she knows I'm doing okay, and we don't need to ratchet up the control. Toshinori finally understood, even if the amount he surely had yet to learn about the younger hero yawned wide, stunning and quieting. The forcefulness with which Aizawa worked the stuff through his hair was a statement in itself. This weekend stint of sleeplessness was a near miss, and he had no intention of letting it go any further. The willfulness and bravery of it all stunned Toshinori. Aizawa was, to the best of his ability, heading off the beginning of a well-known destructive cycle. He was making a decision, using his knowledge of self. Regrettable and admirable alike, he was moving towards health. And it's her brand, Toshinori said with some disbelief, eyeing the purple color palette and signature swooning cursive on the bottle, visible even from across the room. Of course, Aizawa snorted, then affectionately, slut. There was so much for Toshinori to say. The thoughts crowded in and pushed through, one after the other, in a roiling gush of feeling. It hurts me so deeply to think of you going through that. I'm so glad you found a way to cope. I'm so impressed that you are using your life experience to become a teacher. Our experiences as heroes are so different that I'm at a loss for how to help you, but I'm grateful you're sharing this with me. Then, I'm so glad Midnight is still there for you and your friends are so, so good to you. Most importantly, you are so, so worth it. You are so brave. There was so much to say. Instead, he swallowed heavily and said, "It smells amazing." By his knee, Aizawa shook his hair out with a quick hand and spread it behind him on the couch cushion, presumably to dry. It was shiny and damp and straight and entirely unlike the man. So Toshinori eyed it, fascinated. He leaned over. "May I?" he asked gently, wondering as he did so if he was awake enough to be making good and respectful decisions. Aizawa glanced up at him and settled back, humming. "Sure." Carefully, the older hero reached out and touched his hair, where it lay on the couch. It was soft and cool, and Aizawa gave no response, so he sank his fingers in and pulled through it, keeping his eyes on his companion for any sign of displeasure or nerves. Every movement kicked up a new wave of the sweet scent, calming and luxurious, herby French lavender and something rich. It was a kind of appreciation and honoring, at least to Toshinori. But after a few minutes of hypnotically petting the fragrant, silky mass, his hand began to wander and twirl at will, and he tugged, close to the scalp, without quite meaning to. Aizawa made a deep, gruff noise, and Toshinori froze, horribly awake. The younger hero turned just enough to look over his shoulder. "You should do that again," he muttered, his eyes tired but somehow still devious. "But harder." Given another job, Toshinori complied as bravely as he could, despite having no experience in touching hair. He slid his hand in, capturing the heft of the man's thick black mane between his thumb and forefinger, and clenched. Aizawa immediately sighed hoarsely, but also leaned forward, showing him how hard he could pull. He tried again, and the effect cascaded through the teacher's body, loosening him enough that his head lolled to the side, eyelids fluttering. It was plainly incredible. He was so tuned in to any bit of life in the younger hero, any bit of freely given response, that Toshinori's battered heart simply leapt to see Aizawa responding, and in a positive way. It was like waking up or catching a snatch of sunlight between dark, tangled trees. When Aizawa opened his eyes to peer at him, Toshinori grinned nervously, heart in his throat. "Is that good?" he asked, just to be sure. "What do you think?" The younger hero grumbled, peevish but reedy. Weakened, or maybe just comfortable enough to be vulnerable. So emboldened, Toshinori tugged again, and this time Aizawa nosed against his knee and pressed his face there, mouth open and eyes dark. A hand spread across the inside of the older hero's leg. And then, eyes still locked on his, Aizawa grinned, reached over, hooked a finger into his belt loop, and pulled sharply. Toshinori let go of everything, skin flaring cold, and scarcely stopped himself from jerking away. That simple, playful tug at his pants always sent him through the roof before, a clear indication of want and fun. But at that moment, his whole body pulsed in a bad way, a little like panic or disgust, and his head spun from the whiplash. He grabbed the other man's hand off his belt and set it flat on the couch. He shook his head sternly. "No," he croaked, heart pounding. "You're in a state." Aizawa immediately pulled away, retracted mercilessly, any hazy enjoyment replaced by hard anger. "Toshinori, this is half my fucking life. I know when I'm in a state," he muttered, now a rigid, defensive ball of limbs on the floor. Then, surly or accusing, "I thought we weren't doing emotions." "Exactly. We're not," he protested, feeling himself flush horribly. He struggled for words. "And this is... I don't know. This is too emotional. Fraught." At his knee, Aizawa was regarding him with irritation, like he was making excuses. Toshinori sighed, rubbing at his neck. "It's complicated and not something I can explain. Seeing you like that, I just want to help you feel better if I can." "Maybe it would make me feel better," Aizawa countered, voice low and husky enough to swim in. "If I could thank you for comforting me." It was wrong, all wrong. There was a slippery edge to his words and a garish smirk, set just slightly off of center, that instantly struck the older man as some kind of learned adaptation or strategy. He hated the clearly forced taste of it even more than the fact that Aizawa was using it on him. He didn't want to think where it had come from, even as he had an idea. Being undercover made you learn strange things to survive. There was only one thing to do. As much as Toshinori didn't want to reject Aizawa as a person while he was clearly vulnerable, he would much rather explain his reasoning when the other man was in his right mind than try to justify himself later why he'd acted against his instincts. "I'm here to have fun and feel things, not barter," he said simply, and Aizawa finally, visibly gave up. "Fine," he snapped, falling back against the couch and away from him with ire. And Toshinori finally, shakily exhaled. Maybe hearing his relief, Aizawa shot him a surly look, damp and tousled and clearly pissed, and added with faint menace, "You might not get a repeat offer." Toshinori just shook his head. "Nor would I want one if the circumstances weren't changed." That earned him another seething look, as if Aizawa had made no agreements to host such a level of wholesomeness in his house. "Huh," he huffed, waspish. "It's almost like we aren't actually fuck buddies." Toshinori could only frown, mildly embarrassed. "You're a respected co-worker and a friend, so fuck buddies," he stumbled on the word, then raised his hands placatingly, with an emphasis on buddies. Aizawa was motionless for a moment, maybe thinking about his wise words. Then he turned away. "Well, that's it," I'm done, he said, abruptly rising to his feet. What? Toshinori asked, startled. Done with what? Aizawa shook his head, a grim expression on his freshly shaven face that aged him at least 5 years. That killed it. No more remotely sexual thoughts for at least a week. Which should give you ample time to recover, Toshinori said firmly, undaunted. Without missing a beat, Aizawa looked over his shoulder, brows high. Why, do you have something planned? Shota-kun! The older hero exclaimed, stung. He pushed his bangs back, exhaling sharply. Please, just... Loud and sharp, Aizawa laughed for the first time. Probably for the first time that week, but more importantly, for that long, difficult day. The brash sound quieted Toshinori, and his nerves in one fell swoop, leaving him in a state of careful observation as his fellow teacher made his way back over to the kitchen and set about scrounging up something to eat. It was just a fruit cup, slurped and discarded without any ado, but his relief distracted him enough that it was only when Aizawa returned to the couch with a box of some kind of snack food that he found his voice again, pushing forward. It's just, you shouldn't push yourself to be at 100% so soon, especially with something like this. To do something like that for another person, he mumbled, pinkening slightly. He knitted his hands, solemn, as Aizawa settled into the cushions, a significant distance away, and raised an arm to allow a very needy kitten to curl up against his belly. Allow yourself time. If you need time to be vulnerable, take it. Your health is important, and you are not just a resource to be used, Aizawa-kun. Really? Yes, the veteran hero said emphatically, nodding, feeling as though he were back on his feet and in the right for the first time since opening Aizawa's bedroom door however many hours ago. Did you really say that and mean it? Aizawa asked, dull tone completely at odds with the way he suddenly leaned forward, inches away from the older hero's face, and unblinking. Himawari meowed angrily at the upheaval, and Toshinori startled. You actually mean that? Yes! Toshinori stuttered, body vibrating at the simple but perplexing proximity when Aizawa failed to move away or cease his aggressive staring. Under his co-teacher's hard eye, his nerves shook him the rest of the way apart, and he finally blurted, Yes! Why? Then, abruptly as he had begun, Aizawa leaned back into the couch, rustled himself half-horizontal with a hand to the cat, and stuffed another cracker in his mouth. Okay, just making sure. He pulled out his phone and made a few quick swiping motions. A jaunty little song drifted out, which Toshinori haltingly recognized as the cat game. I'm gonna let you soak in the irony. Check on you in about an hour and see if anything got through your thick head. It took the older hero a minute to realize he was being shamed about his own double standards of utilitarianism and self-care, or lack thereof, but he could only manage to poke his fingers together and look at the floor. Something else was bothering him, hardly a new statement. But still. You said you'd been awake since Friday afternoon, he ventured quietly, when Aizawa just continued to blearily crunch on his crackers. Toshinori cleared his throat. That's close to your 72-hour mark. Should we call midnight? That's not... Toshinori glanced over. Aizawa's expression was a conflicted one. But after a moment, his co-teacher snorted and gave an awkward, numb smirk. Then, so quietly, a scoff. We. Aizawa grabbed the remote and flipped the TV on. If you're gonna hang around... We should sit here and watch this nature documentary. I should fall asleep again as soon as fucking possible, and you should be a footrest. With that, the younger hero swiveled and flopped his feet in Toshinori's lap. He automatically covered them with his hands and watched from the corner of his eye, perplexed, as some big, beautiful cat slithered through the undergrowth of a jungle on the screen. At length, Aizawa sighed. Please stop staring at me, Toshinori, or I'm going to try to blow you again, and you don't want that," he said dryly, not turning from the television screen. Of course, sorry, he amended, pausing. I was just thinking, you must be having some hard conversations with Shinzo, now that you're speaking. There was no answer, until there was. I don't want to talk about this, he said, little more than a murmur. Toshinori nodded, expecting it. Of course, that's fine. I just wanted to tell you that I know it must be difficult, and I'm here for you. As a very warm, very quiet footrest, Aizawa affirmed, sending him the first lively look he'd seen so far. His lips twitched. Noted. All right, Toshinori said, with a slight chuckle, squeezing the feet in his lap and settling back with his new and final task. He let it be and was actually able to. Aizawa didn't get back to sleep immediately, but his co-teacher still let Toshinori cook for him with a minimal amount of coaxing after a quick run to a nearby market. It did the younger hero good to get out of the house, even if it was rainy, to hear him inhale sharply and just stand for a moment in the tin overhang of the store, eyes closed, as the rain fell in gray sheets a few feet away, and Toshinori paid for his things. Gave Toshinori an odd kind of hope. Toshinori also learned a lot about wildcats that day, as well as some secrets to Neko Atsume that would finally lure some of the rarer cats in. Though his time to play was limited these days, he had been sorely in need of some new additions to his digital brood, and having Aizawa lean over his shoulder and poke at his phone, mumbling about cat trees and cushions as strategies, was enjoyable, warm, friendly. At the end of the day, as the scant light faded and the streetlights flickered on and lit the shuddering puddles on the sidewalks ablaze, Toshinori left Aizawa sleeping on his couch, bundled into a protective ball with Himawari rolled in the crook of his knee. She opened one eye as he opened the door and slipped on his shoes, then closed it, tail flicking calmly. She would watch over him, and so he left Aizawa in her capable paws, pausing only slightly before closing the door, and once again entering the code to the keypad. The next day, Toshinori saw Midnight and Aizawa in the hallway. It should have been normal, and certainly not a reason to duck behind the nearest threshold. However, the sudden reverence at the sight was almost as strong as the urge to observe as the two younger heroes strode towards him, unaware of his presence. She chattered away, and Aizawa responded with noises and snorts, but Midnight threw an arm around his shoulder and leaned in. It was quick, but Toshinori saw it, the deft combing of his loose hair between her fingers, the kiss on the cheek, the proud look, and Aizawa's genuine, small, only slightly annoyed smile, thinking they were alone. The way he leaned into her just for a moment, accepting what she was telling him, that he was doing well and deserved to do well, that he was safe and loved and very, very much enough. Toshinori's heart fairly stopped, and he only barely managed to duck down the nearest hallway in time, thinking he would never see all the ways that love existed in the world, even if he lived 1,000 years. The very next day, he sent Midnight a gift basket and had it waiting for her in her office. It was 12 red roses, bursting with clean white sprays of baby's breath, and a box of bourbon chocolates, the kind that just effortlessly jumped out at him as something a queen of indulgence would appreciate. On it, a simple card with red script read, "Midnight, a beautiful woman inside and out. For all the lives you've saved over the years, you are a true hero." He heard her scream across campus and wondered if she wasn't hiding a voice quirk under all her other powers of sleep and seduction. And healing somehow. He chuckled quietly into his tea and kept grading.